Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are normally joined by Teron Davenport at this time on Friday, but a scheduling conflict today. TD being productive, way more productive than we are.
He likes the combine.
Yeah, he likes the combine, and he's actually being productive with it. So we'll catch up with TD next week. Taking your thoughts right now, 615-737-1025.
Before you jump in there, real quick shout out to Caroline Fenton. It's protein style at In-N-Out Burger. Nice job. There you go.
Yes, Caroline.
She says it's elite, and I haven't tried that one, but probably a good idea.
It's fire.
When they come here, you can try whatever you want.
That'll make it more fresh and exciting.
Maybe so. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Speaking of TD, however, he did have an interesting bit of information on with Stillman and Company yesterday discussing the Titans quarterback situation. We had quite the conversation with Jared earlier about the quarterback situation for the Tennessee Titans. And there's another name that TD floated out there yesterday that the Titans could have interest in. Here's what Teron Davenport had to say yesterday on the TD Power Hour on Stillman and Company.
I think Tannehill is going to be around. That's kind of the vibe that I've been getting. I think he's going to be back. I do know that CJ Stroud is a guy that they really like. I'm just not sure if they'll be able to pull the trigger to move up to get him. It's probably going to take, at a minimum, going up to the Arizona pick. And that is a pick that Monty Osafort said is open. Like, they're open for business if there's a deal to be had. So that's pretty much what I've heard. Very possible that Bud Dupree is going to be back. It's just they have to weigh that, you know, the contract against the lack of production. But they have a full understanding. You know, the people that I talk to, they, you know, it's clear that there's a difference with him on the field. So it's just a matter of placing a value on that difference that he makes when he's on the field.
All right, let's start on the Stroud front. What specifically have you heard about the Titans' interest in CJ Stroud?
From what I've heard, he's the guy that they like the most out of all the top ones. So, obviously, with Bryce Young, you know, he could do everything. He has that Patrick Mahomes like. I'm comparing styles, not greatness, but he has that kind of playmaking ability, you know, to make something out of nothing. But Stroud is the accuracy that I've been told is what they really like. Accuracy, anticipation.
Okay. I think that's some news, TD. I think that is kind of a scoop.
So that was TD yesterday on with Stillman and Company on the TD Power Hour, saying that he has heard the Titans like CJ Stroud the most out of all of these quarterbacks that are available. What do you think of that?
You know what this really is, right?
You know what?
CJ, tell me about some of the younger players on the Ohio State roster.
Yes.
I'm just curious. Just wondering. You know, I just like to get a little bit of a lay of the land. No reason. No real reason there. It all makes sense.
Disregard some column that some journalist has put together over the course of the past few months where neither Ohio State or the Titans have won a game since then. Just keep that out of your mind.
Yeah, but let's talk about but in all seriousness, that's interesting. The only thing that there's people paid a whole bunch of money who spend a whole bunch more time looking at these quarterbacks. Is accuracy not a fantastic element of Bryce Young's game?
I mean, he's pretty accurate.
But, and TD later in that segment brought up, I think, the point, and I really always struggle with this, but I do think it's fair to bring up, and I really kind of bought into this before the Georgia game. CJ Stroud, it's like every time out, not only is Ohio State way more talented than everybody that play, and I understand, I'm talking about this while I'm talking about the Alabama quarterback, okay, yep. I get it. But the Alabama quarterback this year actually didn't have receivers of that caliber and still did the things he did. Stroud, the Ohio State receiving run lately has been so absurd, and it continued this year. I mean, next year, Marvin Harrison Jr. in 24, he's a top five pick for sure.
Yes.
You know, he'll be around. There'll be quarterbacks, and he'll be the first. I'll make that call right now. Call that shot right now. He's the first non-quarterback taken in next year's draft. So, point being, when you look at C.J. Stroud, like, God, is it – how much of it is like, how could you not produce with that? That said, I mean, I agree. He's an accurate passer. He's a really intriguing player. I just think there's intangibles that I see with Bryce Young that I think are going to make him more of a sure thing in my mind. But I also – like, Vrabel is the type of guy, too. And, look, listen to, like, Rand Carthon talk about Golden State Warriors football,
yep.
You know? I would say that tandem probably – I could see them being more concerned about lack of size than maybe some people around the league.
Well, the Stroud part of this is interesting because I've said this before. The Georgia game where the last game he played at Ohio State was an eye-opener to me because I thought he was excellent in that game. And we've seen Georgia's defense. Now, you know, look, we saw at the end of the LSU game, you know, Georgia's defense struggle a little bit in that game. And then, I mean, C.J. Stroud, he lit him up. He lit up that Georgia defense in the semifinal game. And then we know what happened in the national title game with Georgia's defense kind of shutting the door on TCU then when it was 1,000-0 at the end of that game. I'm just saying, like, C.J. Stroud, like, if that's who C.J. Stroud is the quarterback we saw in that Georgia game, like, I can work with that if I'm an NFL team. He's 6'3", he's 220. So there's the difference, right? He's
yep.
He's your prototypical size at the quarterback position. Now, how much does that matter at the end of the day? Like, C.J. Stroud was talking this morning, too, and our buddy, friend of the show, Stephen Holder, put this out there. C.J. Stroud said, quote, "I actually think I've been the best player in college football 2 years in a row. I don't think I've even touched my potential yet." Like, if NFL teams agree with that and they think that Georgia game version of C.J. Stroud is who he's going to be and you can build on that moving forward, then he's pretty intriguing to me if that's who people think he is at the NFL level.
Yeah, I mean, he's dead wrong on the first part of that.
Yes.
Now, if he's right on the second part of that, then that's quite intriguing. But there is a lot of – there's also a lot – one of many things I love about Combine Week.
Oh, yeah.
All the talking selves up that everybody does. Hey, look. This is your job interview, but it's also your for it's that's the difference. It's like you have job interviews, and then you to the public are, you know, sending messages to potential employers too. So if it was Stroud, because I look at these quarterbacks as Bryce Young on his own tier. That's my opinion, and then I would put Stroud as my top of the second tier. I think if I had to take quarterback and it's like you pick them, put them in order, Stroud would be number two for me. Question is, if the Titans are resolved, not just that they like him the best of these quarterbacks, that is very interesting, it's a good job by TD, but if they're resolved that he's that guy,
right?
What would that require? Where do you have to go? You figure two or four is where the Bears fall. But then I would think that the other AFC South team that doesn't move up to take one, to take Bryce Young, is probably most likely to take C.J. Stroud, right?
You would
unless
think.
there's a Will Levis or whatever
right
in that spot.
Or do Levis.
People, or do people just go nuts with Anthony Richardson?
Or that too.
Like, I don't know. I'm just the Stroud part of this is interesting because I think there's a good chance, and we've talked about this, that the quarterbacks for the Houston Texans / Indianapolis Colts in some version are C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. Like, I think there's a good chance that they both end up in this division. So where would you have to move if you're the Titans? Like, in that clip, TD was talking about, like, at minimum moving up to the Arizona pick. Like, where would you feel comfortable moving up to if you're the Titans? Like, it'd be easier than moving up to number one. Maybe the package is not quite as strong there, but what exactly would you have to do in order to get it? And how that what you just brought up is a real question. Like, okay, so they like C.J. Stroud the best. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
Like, do they love him, or are they just like, yeah, I mean, we think he's the best out of the four there.
And another point to make on that, and it's always a point that probably should be repeated constantly during this season. First of all, TD's not just saying that. So TD talked to somebody who has information. Okay, that's reliable. Also, teams do, and that's even through local reporters, through Rappaport, Schefter, whoever, they do put out misinformation too.
They do.
I mean, secretly the Titans are Levis, 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 please, yeah. Levis, Levis. Yeah. I'm like, let's tell everybody Stroud is who we like. I mean, look, and I joke, but there. I mean, that stuff does happen.
No, did you guys see yesterday? So Adam Schefter put out that the Panthers reached out to Aaron Rodgers, and then a local Carolina Panthers reporter tweeted out the Panthers, per my sources in the organization, the Panthers did not reach out. So I feel like that happens all the time at this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. And was it Joe Person?
No, I would have to go back and look.
Okay, yeah, that's very interesting. And, yeah, so it gets very cloak and dagger.
By the way, Joe Person's a real person, not just somebody you just made up.
I think we had Joe Person on the show.
I'm just saying.
Friend of the show, Joe Person?
Joe Person?
Joe, I'm a real person. Chris Berman nickname for him.
Yes. Logan on YouTube says, their interest is Vrabel went to Ohio State, and we all know Vrabel always recruits people from where he coached or played. Bryce Young is worlds better. This from Logan on YouTube. Talking about C.J. Stroud.
Like I said, maybe it's because Vrabel's going to Ohio State.
Could be.
Maybe Vrabel's like, you know what? This Buckeye's leaving, but here's a really good Buckeye to come in and take my place.
We'll take your thoughts on that.
O-H-I-O.
615-737-1025. What do you make of TD's report there that the Titans like them some C.J. Stroud? What could that mean for what they do in the draft? And there was also another part of that that TD brought up that I find to be pretty interesting. We'll get into that as well. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. You can get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Discussing a report TD had yesterday on Stillman and Company, the Titans apparently like C.J. Stroud. Apparently like C.J. Stroud, the best out of the quarterbacks available in the draft. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Wes on the text line says, go get Stroud this year. Go get Marvin Harrison Jr. next year. The next Burrow Chase. This from Wes on the text line.
Piece of cake. Just two top five picks back-to-back years.
Yeah. Moving up to get at least one of them. Probably two of them.
I would
be hard to do.
I would think so. I guess, well, if you did move up to get C.J. Stroud and you moved on from Tannehill and you were paid the price. You paid the price. You know, for the things you didn't do to help this team get better, I suppose you could be in position next year.
I mean, but still, like, I know it's not moving up to number one overall, but if you're moving up to get C.J. Stroud, isn't that probably still going to cost you next year's first?
Yeah.
So, probably not getting Marvin Harrison that way, be my guess.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Just throwing it out there. Dustin from Hopkinsville says,
just trade Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, just do that.
I'm desperate for the Titans to trade Jeffrey
Please,
Simmons.
Please, get rid of him.
It's about time that guy got out of here.
Please, trade him now.
How could he still be on your team?
Dustin from Hopkinsville says, gold, I hope it's Levis. Hope it's actually Levis. Is that serious or is that a sarcasm? I don't know.
From a media perspective, I'm in on that.
Just go get Will Levis?
I mean,
he's going to end up somewhere.
Get out your popcorn and put mayonnaise on it.
He's going to end up somewhere.
It's going to be interesting.
And he's probably going to end up somewhere high in the first round. So somebody's going to do it.
There's a real
Who's going to be?
Yeah, there's a real chance that Will Levis is in the AFC South. I mean, the AFC South, one way or the other, is going to contain, I'd say, a couple of these quarterbacks moving forward. And it's going to be very interesting. And right now, the high likelihood is that the Titans are the only team that doesn't have one of these young, promising quarterbacks. Right now.
I would agree. Now, there's another thing that TD brought up that's interesting as well, and this is not the first time we've discussed it, but now that some cuts have been made and you can kind of see the lay of the land with the draft needs that they have and obviously the free agency needs that they have on the offensive line, how likely do you think it is Bud Dupree's hanging around on his current deal next year?
Yeah, that's a very – and we talked about that, exactly what TD said, but that's the thing. He's a really, really interesting case because even though he's been hurt, his production hasn't been good. He certainly has not come close to playing to his contract so far.
No.
It's been more than just a brief flash here or there where when he's right, when he's on the field and it's all working together, they look like the dang purple people eaters. You know, I mean, that's the thing is if you feel like the combination of those players can still be that effective moving forward, even for a year, and this is a year that you are trying to go for it, and you're Tannehill and you're Henry and try to fix the O-line and receiver, well, then I think it's a really worthwhile discussion to say, yeah, Bud Dupree, it's been a disappointment, but what if?
I'm interested to see what they do there because you have Harold Landry, who gets forgotten about in this conversation because he missed the whole year, but he's coming off the ACL. I would assume by the time that training camp rolls around, like, he's going to be healthy, right? Like, you're talking about a year at that point that he's been rehabbing. So I would assume that he'll be healthy coming back. So you've got him coming back. You have Jeffrey Simmons in the middle. You have Denico Autry and how impactful that he's been the past couple of years. Like, I can see where if you're the Titans, it would be attractive to say, yeah, we know Bud Dupree, he's been hurt a lot, and the contract number is really high. But we also feel like if we can keep him on the field more often than not, that's the strength of our team, which is the pass rush. Whereas if you move on from him, I would understand that, but then you got to go replace him. And that's just adding one more need to a laundry list of needs that this football team already has.
Right. And you mentioned Landry. I think the reason he's not discussed is because a lot of people just assume he's going to come right back and just be same Harold Landry. You move on from Bud Dupree, that means you're putting a lot of eggs in the Harold Landry basket. And, of course, you just signed him to a big deal, and so he needs to – you need him back. You need him to be a key player. He had a great season in 2021, but you also need to probably allow for the possibility that coming off an ACL, it may not look exactly how you want it to look right away. And so now you move on from Dupree, and it's some questions about Harold Landry, and it's Rashad Weaver.
Yeah.
I think even if they kept Dupree somewhere, and this is a deep edge draft too, per the analysts, and I know right now they're testing now, so like you're getting – I know like the Louisville kid, just his shuttle was ridiculous. And so, I mean, there is some depth at the edge position. I still think it's a draftable, maybe draft-needed position anyway for them, even if they do keep Dupree to have depth. But, yeah, if they move on from Dupree, then you have got to address that.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's a draftable position anyway, but where are you drafting? Like, where is it coming from? Because you still need receiver, and you still need offensive lineman. I mean, that's the problem they're in right now. You got to like make a lot of – now, look, I think – it makes sense to me that the Titans are going to be pretty active in free agency on the offensive line, be that at guard, tackle, maybe combination of the two. Like, they're going to have to be if you're going to try to fill all the needs that you've got on the offensive line. Receiver is the one where I look at what's available free agency-wise in receiver. I'm like, well, maybe you can pick up a piece or two, but nothing that's really going to be all that impactful. So that to me is more like where you have to fill it in the draft. But you're still
or a trade,
but you're still probably not going to be active enough in free agency on the offensive line to fill every single need that you've got on the offensive line. They're in a tough spot that way. I think it's a huge challenge that I'm not sure they can pull off to fix the whole thing in one offseason.
So blow it up and get your quarterback.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, you have to have some luck, and that's the thing. Some of the luck could be, well, although, and look, it also could be a contract change with Dupree, too. And that's possible. Wait, what's the attractiveness of Bud Dupree to the rest of the NFL? Like, if the Titans were to cut him, you know, like, what's based on ACL, signed a big deal, and so far you look at what he's done here, it's not much. And his age, I don't
probably
think
not
it's
a lot.
Super. And I think someone would take a flyer, but, I mean, it's – obviously, it's a totally different pay scale. So would he consider that? Does he like it enough here, you know, to redo his deal? And actually, I don't mean restructure. I mean pay cut.
Yep.
Worth having a conversation.
Jeff from Tennessee on the text line says, if Joe has it his way, we'll be trading Jeffrey Simmons for Shorty Young. I guess that is Bryce Young's new nickname. Shorty Young.
What did Jared call him? Little quarterback? Yes. A little itty-bitty quarterback? Jared who?
Bryce Jones. And right down. Come on down.
And I want to shout out thanks to the anonymous texter who texted my text line yesterday and pointed out that Jared was going just absolutely bananas about Joe Burrow's tiny hands. When
that
Joe
is true.
And now he's like, Joe Burrow's the best quarterback in the history of the NFL.
My love for Joe Burrow is short of only Tom Brady. That's it. I get it. Kevin, with quite the take on the text line, says, if Will Anderson is the leader on the draft clubhouse, I don't like it. He was a bum this year. This is from Kevin on the text line. Will Anderson was a bum this year?
Why are we ripping Will Anderson?
I don't know. I'm just...
Will Anderson's going to go very high this year.
Is he possibly referring to Will Levis? Do we have our Wills mixed up here?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
That's probably a good point. I bet you that is about Levis. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Will Anderson's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, Will Anderson, if you just watch him closer to the Tennessee game, you're underwhelmed because Darnell Wright did a great job. Yeah. But, yeah. Jack Dupree could always get a job at Walgreens. Jack. Okay.
Boy.
Picking up what you're putting down.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got some more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll also keep you updated on NHL trade deadline day, which is today here in the National Hockey League. More on that coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
The reporter is in the building.
I know. I was just here, what felt like 2 minutes ago, watching the Preds get a 2-1 ugly win last night.
So Michelle has been sent home. Got to be safe
with
the wind going on. Apparently Nick just sacked president. Hey, Nick. Hey, hold on tight, buddy.
Strap it down, Nick.
We're about to leave, man. I hope you're okay today.
Oh, yeah. I'll be all right. It is quite windy outside. I am no meteorologist, but it is quite windy outside.
That's why we call him the reporter. He knows what's going on out there. Nick Kieser, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kevin has texted back in and says, no, Joe said this was a deep pass rush class. I don't think so. Bunch of average guys. Not Levis. He's a bum too, but I think the Titans kept Dupree because there aren't any better options. Got another texture that says, that guy's right. Will Anderson absolutely fell off this year. He'll still be picked top 10, though.
Yeah, again, I mean, Will Anderson had some ridiculously good performances in games, and overall he grades out very high. He's going to go high. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player in the NFL. He did. Yeah, darn all right. Made himself a lot of money. Darnell Wright is a first-round projection with a lot of people right now. Yep. I think largely that film helped him a ton.
It was an eye-opener for me. I know that. Like, we've watched Darnell Wright play for a long time. And when you go back and watch it, like, it's not like Will Anderson never approached Hendon Hooker in that game. But, I mean, all in all, Darnell Wright certainly did as good of a job as I think anybody else had done in college football on Will Anderson in that game, and they were singled up a lot in that game.
Yeah, they were. But, yeah, I think this is what happens is you have a player, and I think Will Anderson actually had a case for the Heisman the year before. I would agree that he didn't have the same type of just huge impact, ridiculous plays this year as last year. But, yeah, I wouldn't sleep on him. He's going to get drafted high, and I think you're going to see him do a lot of good things in the NFL. Wow. I think he's that level of player.
Well, look, I mean, I was listening to Jared yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, you don't necessarily have to trade up to number one to find your quarterback of the future. And, you know, he was going through example after example of people that have been found either later in the first round or early in the second round, all these different things. And I texted him yesterday, and I was like, just go ahead and say it. You want the Titans to finish right around 17th or 18th and draft Joe Milton next year. And he wouldn't say it.
There's a thought. Will they be able to? Are you sure that'll be doable?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't know, man.
There'll be a lot of quarterback talk next year.
The whole next year with Joe Milton.
There's no way the quarterback class of next year lives up to what we think it can be, right? Like, something's going to happen where it doesn't look as loaded as it does right now.
Well, my whole thing with the quarterback class of next year, there's going to be a name or two right now that that will emerge, you know, because people get better and people, the information we get on the field next fall is going to change a lot. I'll be surprised if it's not Williams and May top two, just like it's projected right now. But a lot of these quarterbacks who are said to be in this loaded class, I've gone through a couple of them. I have my like. Look, I don't love Jaden Daniels. I don't love Spencer Rattler. I don't love KJ Jefferson. Those are all quarterbacks who are put into that group. Quinn Ewers. I mean,
Penix.
Yeah, I mean, Penix is a really good college player, but I'm not big on Penix. I'm not big on Sam Hartman either. He's good. Very good. These are all very good college quarterbacks. But
Joe Milton?
Well, look, Milton is more talented than those guys. I mean, I'm sorry. He just is, okay? But will he put it all together?
I can't wait for this next year. This whole year discussion.
Now, look, the thing is, my words are going to be taken out of context. I'm going to say it again.
That never happens.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say it again. He could be top five. He could also be benched after week three and
never heard from again.
I mean, he'll be drafted somewhere. He'll be a fifth or sixth round pick or something. If it goes poorly for him on the field, if he puts it all together and is consistently efficient and shows another step, just remember these words, folks. He's going high in the draft in 2024.
Joe Milton breaking in that new stadium over here with the Titans, throwing it off top of the roof, enclosed roof over there.
Putting holes all in that thing. Amy gets mad because there's holes in her.
Joe! We just paid for that, man. What are you doing?
Breaking windows.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun.
I wish that the 2023 college football season could start tomorrow for no other reason than that.
Well, there's other reasons for that, too.
Well, there is that.
It sucks that I have football all the time.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025. Joe, it is NHL trade deadline day today. So we have made it till deadline day, the 2 p.m. Central Time deadline coming up later this afternoon. Obviously, the Predators have been very busy to this point, and they have already made several moves. Is anything else coming from the Nashville Predators today? That is the question. So there's the Fabro part of this where I still think he's probably the most likely one to be moved in my mind. You know, we've had people throw out the idea today of what about Kevin Lankinen? What about Ryan McDonough? You know, what about Juuse Saros? Could that be a possibility? As far as Saros, like, I would be at this point shocked if that happens today. I have no idea whether or not the Predators are even entertaining something like that. If they are, I think an off-season move would make more sense than today because I think you open up your options more if you do it in the off-season. But I'm very fascinated to see if there's any activity from the Preds later today or if they are done until at least the summer. Because keeping in mind, even with Fabro, like, I think it makes sense to move him, but they don't have to do it now. They could wait until the summer.
Right. Yeah, I think the Saros thing. I've seen some commentary out there this week like, well, then why wouldn't you trade Saros? Saros is a guy who, in an offseason trade, could bring back a proven, productive skater for you. And that, which no one's giving up now if they're trading for him because they're trying to keep all their best players to make a run, right?
Yeah.
So you're limiting yourself to some extent if you were to trade him now. I mean, hey, I guess if it's an outrageous haul of prospects and picks, and you'd have to listen, but is there anybody out there who can do it, who could swing it? I said a couple weeks ago or recently, it's like if there's a team that believes that he's the last piece to a cup run, then maybe you will find someone who's willing to go all out. But at this point, with all the deals that have been made, I don't even know who would be able to do it at this point.
Well, I'm curious league-wide what all happens today. Like, there are deals starting to come together. Like, Jacob Vrana just got traded from Detroit to St. Louis. The Nick Bonino trade happened late last night, early this morning. So, Bonino's going back to the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, like, trades have happened already, and there will be more trades that happen before the deadline. But are there any other big ones that are coming later today? I don't know. Like, a lot of those have already been made to this point. So I do wonder, are there any moves that either we're not thinking about or that have not happened yet that are sizable moves that have been made? Like, a lot of teams have already made their big pushes. I guess Pittsburgh could continue to try to kick at the can and see what they can do here. But they've got Bonino and Granlund, so what else could you want? And they won last night in Tampa, so good for them.
Hey, Ron. Ron, it's David. Hey, we got this guy, Matt Duchene.
Yes.
Have you considered what he might do for you in a playoff
and
push?
For the cheap price of just one singular first-round pick, he can be yours, Ron. Have you thought about this?
David, how about a six-round pick?
Okay, Ron.
Yes.
Thank you, Ron.
How about nothing? Okay.
All right. Well, just take him. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really interested to see what happens today. And whether or not they make a move today or not, I think most people would agree this has been a pretty darn productive trade deadline week for the Predators to this point. They have sold off a lot of assets. They have gained a lot of draft capital. And not only that, they've gained a lot of cap space and have created some flexibility for themselves as they move forward here too. So if it's it, and this is all that it is before the deadline, I think it's been a pretty successful trade deadline for the Predators to this point. And I would anticipate if there is another move coming, it's probably going to be pretty minor. Like the Fabro one makes a lot of sense to me. Other than that, like I don't know that there's one out there that I would consider to be likely today.
Have they won the trading deadline? Can that happen for a seller?
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, look, somebody – this is a real hot take for you. Somebody's going to win the Stanley Cup, and my guess is whoever wins the Stanley Cup will have made some moves at the trade deadline. So that will be the quote-unquote winner
The
trade deadline.
But that's like – but you trade the NFL draft right at the next day. So
I know.
We can't we're not waiting for that. So right now, who do you think did the best – had the best week?
I mean, I think the Predators have had the best week.
If you had to confine it to buyers, who do you like? Who do you like the best?
I like Boston. I like that. I like what they filled in around the good pieces that they've already had. Now, you brought up something yesterday that would be a concern to me if I'm a Boston fan. Like, all right, are you messing too much with what you've got going on out there? But I mean, they just continue to roll off win after win. I think they've won 9 in a row. I mean, I like the way that they filled in. Like they got on the offensive and did not wait for people to, like, take their moves away from them around them. They got their moves. They got their – I think Orlov's a great move for them. And, I mean, they're 48-8-5 with a goal differential plus 103. I mean, I like what they've done.
I think you make great points there. I also look forward to revisiting this when they lose in the second round, inevitably.
I'll tell you another team I like what they've done. And I know people are going to laugh, and I'm even laughing at myself. I really like the deadline that Toronto's had. I think Toronto's had a really good deadline. I like some of the pieces that they bought in. Like, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, I think, is a perfect fit for them.
I like that, yeah.
They've got a little bit of an edge to them now, and they've been missing that. I still look at their goaltending, and I'm like, I don't know, man. But it's going to be them in Tampa in the first round. We've known that for 3 months at this point. It's going to be them in Tampa in the first round. Can they handle it?
If you were them looking at Tampa – man, wouldn't you love UC Soros between the pipes?
Yes, you would.
Just saying.
And then you've got a, you know, Tangineau comes smashing through the boards at Austin Matthews on the other side. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens on that front. It's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. It could be Predators-related, Nashville SC back in action, the NFL Combine, the draft, any way you want to take it, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, let's see. Michelle, Vandy beats Florida by more than 15. I think she's right. They won by double figures. So she's very close. Liam Robbins will get a double-double in every game. That was right, too. I mean, obviously he got hurt.
Vanderbilt won by 16. So
there you go. So she's 2 for 2. Kentucky beats Auburn by 20 or more. She's 3 for 3.
Yeah.
She also said everyone in the starting lineup for Kentucky will be in double figures against Auburn.
I don't think that happened.
I mean, we should check, I guess.
We could check.
Do you want to check?
I'll check.
I'll go through the other stuff. Okay. You said you had two. You had the Preds will lose to Arizona, and you were wrong.
Did not happen.
And you also said Nino will be traded on deadline day while we're on the air. You traded long
before that. Traded the next day after those shots, actually. So there you go.
Called shot. Matthias Ekholm to the Oilers.
Mm.
I said a first and a prospect and Borgol coming back. So I didn't have the return exactly right, but I at least get a half credit for that one.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Vanderbilt will win at Kentucky. Ding, ding, ding.
Nailed that.
I also said Liam Robbins will have more than 30 because that's the only way I figured they could possibly win at Kentucky. But I had that half right, too. And then I said the Vols will win. I don't even remember. Who the heck did they play last Saturday?
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. But the shot I had was that Mayshak will score more than 20, which he didn't. And Josiah James came back. But Mayshak's going to be key still moving forward. So,
by the way, Kentucky in their win last week against Auburn, every starter was in double figures except Livingston, who only had 6. So out of 5.
So I want to say, and I hope Michelle's listening, but I want to say that might be the best performance ever in Call Your Shot Friday.
It was pretty good.
I mean, she got 3 exactly right and almost got her 4th.
Yeah.
So good job, Michelle.
There we go.
Stay safe.
With that in mind,
we'll try to keep Nick alive over here.
Do you have any called shots today that you would like to throw out there for the public?
Well, I have filled in from time to time, and I have mentioned this on Call Your Shot Friday, and now we are on the day.
We're on the day.
So I'm going to say Dante Fabro gets traded. I'm not going to say to who. I'm just going to say that he gets traded because I don't really care where he gets traded.
Does that count as a shot? Does that count as a shot? That's a real borderline, man. I think you got to pick a team.
Now, why would...
Because calling a shot is something that's not expected to happen, or that's, whoa, no, are you sure? I mean, we all think Dante Fabro is going to get traded.
Pick a team.
Oh, man.
I got one that comes to mind.
Why don't you tell me what your team is, and then I can build off of it.
San Jose.
Really?
All right. Now I'll write you down for that one. Dante Fabro traded. That's fine. You get specific, then we can call that a shot.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I really just want to say Seattle and just pick a random one.
Okay, that works.
If he goes to the Sharks, that's just as fine. My second one.
Nick wants to get rid of Favreau at all costs. I don't care where he goes.
I've been
just
saying
get
this.
Get him out.
I've been saying this since the summertime with you guys.
Yeah, I know.
That I would say my next one after yesterday's news with Nashville SC that Giannis Antetokounmpo will be at least one home game this season.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
At least one. I think he would be pretty hard to miss, like Robbie said yesterday, obviously.
I think so. It's pretty tall.
And my last one is I think that Luke Evangelista will score at least 4 points on this road trip, which they are traveling more than the Titans did the entire season on this one trip, by the way.
It's pretty incredible. They're going all over the place on this road trip. Nick Kieser, ladies and gentlemen, his called shots of the week. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for this week.
I'm just going to add, since we're doing, Fabro, Fabro to the Penguins, and then there will be a new star combo in town, Granbro.
Preds get a first-round pick back?
Hashtag Granbro to the cup.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. Crosby coming back.
It's Sidney Crosby. My goodness. All right.
Here's a called shot for you. Remember this one. John Hines will be the Nashville Predators coach next season.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a shot, I think.
I think that's a shot.
That's my shot.
Okay.
The Vols will win at Auburn tomorrow. And, yes, this is a shot considering, one, they just lost to Zakai Ziegler. Auburn is furious. Auburn is desperate to get this win. If Auburn loses tomorrow at home to Tennessee, I think Auburn could be on the wrong side of the bubble. The SEC knows that, by the way. I'm not talking conspiracy. I'm just saying there's a lot of factors that align against the Vols tomorrow. I got them winning. I got Julian Phillips scoring 15+. And finally, Casey Alexander's Belmont Bruins in their first crack at Arch Madness, the MVC tournament, which is awesome, and gets, I believe, CBS regular treatment for the title game, will win the MVC title and get the auto bid. Check for that Sunday.
That I like
starts that. Soon. There you go.
Very nicely done. Okay. All right, my called shots for this week. Keep this in mind. We'll have to revisit this. The New York Rangers, with their newly assembled lineup, will lose in the first round of the playoffs.
They will lose
in the first round of the playoffs. I like a lot of what they've done. I really do. But I can see the first round loss coming to the New York Rangers. So the New York Rangers will lose in the first round of
now,
the playoffs.
Now, Robbie. Okay. Where does Patrick Kane go if he doesn't win the Stanley Cup this year? Does he stay with the Rangers?
Well, it depends entirely on what Patrick Kane wants his cap hit to be next year. I don't know. Because he's a little up there. But we'll see what happens on that front. The Rangers losing in the first round of the playoffs. I've got, for next week, the Texas A&M Aggies winning the SEC tourney.
Oh, okay.
Texas A&M Aggies winning the tourney.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good.
Does that count as a shot?
I mean, they're second. I mean, they're second in the league. But I still think that I qualify that. I still qualify that to win the tournament. Alabama. They play each other, by the way, this weekend.
They do.
We may see those two teams play again, but I call that a shot.
Yeah. So we're going Texas A&M winning the tourney next week here. And finally, I've already said the Fabro to the Sharks shot. I will say also that Ryan McDonagh gets traded this summer. And Ryan McDonagh will be traded to – God, I'm trying to think of a specific destination. He will be traded to back to the New York Rangers.
I know some Rangers fans who would love that.
Reshuffling the deck.
I want to add two real fast. Since you did the
got a lot of New York Rangers thoughts in my call shots.
You do. Bruins, put me down officially. Bruins, second round. Bruins losing the second round. Okay?
Okay.
Also, Vanderbilt this week, two games. They're going to have to play Thursday. They're going to win two games. They're going to get to the SEC semifinals. That won't be enough to get them in the NCAA tournament, but it'll still be a good run in Nashville.
There we go. I like it. This has been Call Your Shot Friday.
We called a lot of shots today.
We did call a lot of shots today. Got a lot of thoughts on the text line as well. So here we are. It's trade deadline day. Your final thoughts. What happens for the Preds today?
I think Fabro, and that's it.
Okay.
That's what I think will happen. Fabro for like a fifth.
I'll go Fabro for a six-round pick. Happens today. Okay. That's my thought. Now we're guaranteed for nothing to happen today.
Yeah, we're guaranteed for Soros to be moving right around noon, right around lunchtime. Soros, see ya.
Roman Yossi approaches. See, hey guys, I'd like to be out of here.
We really need hashtag Grand Bro to start trending.
Why did we never think of that when they were here?
Today? I don't know. Missed opportunity. All those, that could have been T-shirts.
That may be better than Rex Croak a couple of years ago with. You and Callie Yarncroak.
We got multiple people calling the shot that the Preds will make the playoffs this year. I'm actually surprised no one called that shot. And that's a good shot right now.
They have a 25.4% chance, according to MoneyPuck.com.
Which is still low enough for that to be a shot.
It's still low enough. Well, yeah, it's low enough for that to be a shot, for sure. I'm just saying.
John and Thompson Station, they're going to win the cup, and Poyland Hines are GM and Coach of the Year.
Could be.
That's some good shot calling. Stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe. Keep an eye on the weather today. We'll keep you updated on that here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game as well. Chase and Michelle up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.